That song expresses what we want to experience all of our lives, here at camp and back home where we're from. There's victory in that song. In every circumstance, every trial, every problem, every need, demons are trembling at that name of Jesus. Kingdoms are shaken and falling at that name of Jesus. There's healing in that name. There's victory over sin and deliverance from the bondages of sin in that name of Jesus, because there's power in that name. He's able. He is able. And he's able for every need, every single need. You'll face needs at camp. I don't know who's coming on Monday. Maybe you don't know who's coming on Monday. How many of you are counselors on Monday? A bunch of you are going to be counseling. You don't never know who's going to be coming. Not even in the cottage. You have any idea where these kids come from and the needs that some of them have. 6, 7, 8-year-old kids with need. But Jesus is the one who can meet and will meet that need. He's able. He's powerful. We, this past couple of weeks, we've been looking at the minor prophets in our morning times together here in Watch Rock. And we skipped over a few of the minor prophets because there are not enough days. We had to stay another few more days. But one of the minor prophets that we totally skipped over was Zechariah. It's hard to skip over a guy like him. He writes such good things. And one of the things that you read in Zechariah, I think it may be the 4th chapter, where he talks about this mountain shall be removed. You know, mountains are hard to remove. Usually, I have a hard time climbing up a mountain. I have a hard time climbing up a hill. But mountains, this mountain shall be removed. And there are all kinds of mountains, obstacles, difficulties, and they're hard. Jesus, of course, talked about mountains being removed too. And he told us, if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you say to the mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and it'll be done. But here in Zechariah's time, I guess it was to Zerubbabel, that mountain's Zerubbabel. You're facing a difficulty. It's a big difficulty. It's a trial. But that mountain shall be removed. I think of, is it Ezekiel 37, where the Lord takes Ezekiel out in a vision. It's only a vision, but he's walking him through a valley of dry bones. You remember how it's couched there in Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel, come and follow me. I want to take you for a walk. Where are we going? We're going to the graveyard. And he would talk him through the graveyard, and he saw, it says, bones that were very, very dry. Very, very dry. They were very dead. Very dead. And then Ezekiel was asked the question, can these bones live? It's kind of like the same question as, can the mountain be removed? Can the bones live? Can this mountain be removed? It can be. Can these dry bones live again? Is it at all possible? Because it's not possible to move a mountain. You ever try? You can't. Is it possible for dry bones to live again? And I guess normally, naturally, without the supernatural, we'd have to, no, can't, impossible. Well, Ezekiel was asked a question. He was smart enough not to answer the way he probably felt like answering. If I were asked, I would say, no, these bones cannot live again. But Ezekiel was smarter than that. He said, Lord, thou knowest. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to say. Because if I say what I'm thinking, it's unbelief. And I never want to say that. So I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to think it. You know, we sometimes get into that whole thing. Well, I know this is an impossible case. Because the doctor said so. And you know it's impossible. But we don't want to say that because that would be unbelief. So we don't want to articulate that. But we know that it's impossible. Can the bones live again? Can this come back to life again? Can this mountain be removed again? Is it a possibility at all? And Ezekiel, well, Lord, you know. And then you know the rest of the story there, how the Lord says, Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy. I want you to speak the word of the Lord to the dry bones. You know, I don't know, Brother Gary, you're going to maybe look out Tuesday morning? And I don't know, I hope not, but I hope you don't think, oh, dry bones. Or maybe Brother Keith will look out one of these days coming up this week and he'll say, I don't know, what can we do here at camp? What can we do? Can this ever happen? Can these dry bones live again? Can these mountains, these obstacles be removed? And the Lord said, Ezekiel, speak my word. Prophesy. Hey, here's what to say. Ezekiel, don't try your own words. Here's the word of the Lord. Ezekiel cleared his throat, and then he saw his audience and his congregation, and he went to work. He went to work. That must have been faith. Would you preach to a group of dry bones, dead bones, bleaching in the valley, very dry, all disjointed? No. Well, what's the sense? It's too far gone. See, we've got to get to the place where we get past what we see, what we think, what we feel, what looks like, what everybody else says, what this guy has told you or that one has said about it. God's word is living. Amen. Powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. God is able by his word to create. He spoke, and it was done. And his word, this word, the word that we hold in our hands and that we'll be reading from and speaking from and looking into and reading, this word is a living word. So try, Ezekiel, and just see what happens. And so he looked around and he cleared his throat and he said, oh, you old dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Something started to happen. Can the bones live again? Ezekiel was starting to believe it was possible because he heard some moving around. I would have been out the door down the block and around the corner, but he just kept on going. I guess figure, what do I got to lose now? Something's happening here. This is good. And the bones were all just coming together all over the place, all over the graveyard, from here and there and everywhere. But they were coming together at the word of the Lord. And then you had sinews come upon them and tendons and skin. And there was this miracle, a real miracle of God, but a corpse. Well, I guess we're a step in the right direction. But this isn't going to help too much. This isn't going to do very much for anybody. And so we got to keep on going. Lord, what next? Now you have to prophesy to the wind. Now you have to say, Spirit of God, breath of God, breathe on these slain. And he prophesied. Oh, breathe from the east, the west, the north. Breathe on this thing. And the Spirit of God came upon that corpse, and that corpse stood up like a mighty army. And you can read the rest of the prophecy. But what a wonderful answer to the what an impossible situation. And it was because of the word of God and because of the Spirit of God that the impossible could be done, that the supernatural could be performed. And it doesn't always look good. I'm reminded, I've told the story more than once, but maybe none of you or some of you probably have heard it. But here at camp, I was counseling one year. We used to have a bus come into camp. There'll be a little bus coming into camp. Most kids will come by car, I guess. But we used to have a big Adirondack Trailways bus. Anybody remember the bus days? When the bus used to roll in and it was an event. The bus is here. The bus is here. And we'd all run down to see the bus. And every kid would get out of the bus. And they would come out in groups, and counselors had to be there to get the kids from the bus. So I was one of the Nonantum counselors. Who's got Nonantum?
Yeah, it's the oldest group at OBN meeting. Adam, who's here.
There you go, Adam. God bless you, Adam. I hope you don't have what I had, but maybe I do hope you have what I had. Because off the bus came the boys, and they were by name, given this guy. And then they called this one, now I didn't know who he was, Junior Borges. I don't know who that is. So this kid gets off the bus. And he had on a hat, like a derby kind of hat. It was turned sideways and pulled down a little bit. That's one step to making him look tough. Yeah. And then he came off the bus. This is Pilgrim Camp. This is, I don't know what year it is, going back a bunch of years. How many of you remember what a boombox is? You know what that is? I'm not talking transistor radio. You know what they are? You ever see a transistor radio? Okay. This guy had a boombox. Well, I knew that wasn't going to last here long at camp. That's one of the confiscated items along with gum and knives. And in his case, maybe guns, I'm not sure. But here he comes off the bus, and he didn't look like he was happy, a happy camper. And he came off, and he had this thing, and he had this big thing under his arm, because he was going to, whatever he was going to do with that. And then he walked past me, and I saw the back of his jacket, and he had a cross and skull and crossbones and a skull. And I'm like, oh, non-anthem guy, huh? He doesn't look like good material. Well, we got him back to non-anthem, and we were able to wrestle away his boombox. Made sure he didn't have any other bad stuff with him. And he had come from a place, somebody sent him to camp, and he didn't know the Lord, and he didn't want to know the Lord. He just was sent to camp, and he just got on the bus that went, and here he was, dropped off at our doorstep. And in the first part of the week, didn't seem to be going too well. He would come to the meetings and sit like a mountain that needed to be removed. And he was belligerent. He wasn't very happy at all, ever. He never sang. He never opened up a book, a Bible. He enjoyed the activities, I think, somewhat. And then he was telling stories to different campers, and we found that he was from the Bronx. If you know where the Bronx is, yeah, Bronx. Yay, Bronx! And he was from the Bronx, and he, you know, there's a footbridge up there somewhere, and his gang controlled that footbridge. So anybody that walked across the bridge had to pay his gang toll. Skull, crossbones, mean. Hat. Lord, can these bones live? Lord, is there any possibility with this guy? Doesn't look like these bones can live. Lord, can this mountain be moved? I don't know. It doesn't look promising. I'm not too sure. And here I was. I guess I could say, fortunately, I was the junior counselor in Nonantham at the time, and there was a man older than I, and I hope he had more faith than I probably did. And we had these boys, and time went on during the course of the week, and then we had a meeting one night up in Nonantham, or up in the old, where the oldest group was at that time, was in Nonantham. And we got into the meeting house, just we boys, and it was a question and answer night, and the boys asked questions, and they wrote them down ahead of time, and then the other older counselor mostly would answer the questions, and from the Bible, of course, not, you know, who hit 61 home runs for the New York Yankees, and not questions like that, but biblical questions. And that's the answer, though. And we got to the end of that. And we decided we're going to pray a little while. And so people got down on their knees. Some of them did. And then I looked, and Junior got on his knees. Wow. I saw his skull and crossbones. But now he was on his knees. And a little while later, I saw him there, and I saw his shoulders going. And I realized that he was jumping up and down with his shoulders because he was crying. Just melted. Questions and answers. Not a fire and brimstone sermon. With a big altar service. And everybody. Questions and answers. And God just touched his heart in that meeting. And the transformation in that boy. I don't think he had another jacket, so he still had a skull and crossbones at the rest of the time at camp. But the change in his countenance. the change on his face. He looked like a different boy. He smiled. He sang. We had sung in the group sometime up in the village meeting house. We sang that little chorus, "Who Took My Burdens All Away?" You know that one? You sung it before. Jesus, Jesus. "Who Turned My Darkness Into Day?" Jesus did. Jesus. Well, we sang it earlier in the period, and I don't suppose Junior sang. I'm sure he didn't. I'm sure he didn't open the book, and maybe the other boys did, and maybe other boys sang it with all their heart, but Junior didn't sing it. But that night, by the end of that little meeting up there in Nonantum, that tent we have up there, or that little meeting house, before we left that meeting, Junior said to me, "Brother Ernie, could we sing that song?" "What song? What do you want to sing?" "Who Took My Burdens All Away?" "Who moved the mountain?" "Jesus. Jesus." Now, Junior didn't tell me this, but I could apply it now. "Who made the dry bones live again?" "Jesus. Jesus." You know, Zechariah's prophecy also, along with Ezekiel's, but Zechariah goes on to say, it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. This mountain shall be removed. In another place we read, the mountains flow down like wax. Like the melting of a candle, just the brush gone. They flow down like wax in his presence. And I think that's what happened to Junior that night. Just the presence of Jesus with 16 boys and two counselors in a little meeting. But the presence of Jesus just melted that heart of stone and caused the bones to live again. We sang that song almost in every meeting. Brother Carl Saylor, who was the head counselor at the time, never caught on. Every meeting we came to, he'd ask, "Anybody have a song they'd like to sing?" And every meeting we came to, Junior would say, "I want to sing Who Took My Burdens All Away." If we sang it once, we sang it almost 100 times. We just sang that song, but you know, it sang its way right into my heart and all of our hearts. Because we recognize that here is a live, living case of what Jesus can do. In taking burdens all away, in changing darkness into day, in taking dry bones and making them alive. Jesus still can do that. We sang it in that song. He's the sweetest name we know. He's just the same. That's the reason why we love him, and that's the reason why we exalt his name. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful that by God's word and that by God's spirit, God is able to move mountains. Don't limit him. Don't limit by what you see, by what you feel, by what you think, or by what you've heard. He has a reputation. Now, I did all that, and I know you look at people and you make judgments or assessments, and to a certain degree, you're normal. You have to do that. This guy looks like a bright guy. This guy looks tall. This guy looks short. This guy looks happy. This guy looks sad. But Jesus, you're able to change what I see and make a trophy of your grace. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. And this poor guy growing up where he was in the community and falling into the gang that he fell into and the experiences that were dealt him early on in his life, this is all he knew. But then he came to Pilgrim Camp, of all places in the world. He came to Pilgrim Camp and he found Jesus. I don't know where he is. This is many, many years ago now. I wish I would have kept in touch with him. I trust he's following the Lord somewhere. I trust that he kept seeking Jesus and singing that song. But I'm thankful that Jesus can do that for us now, today, in these days, throughout this coming week or two. And he's done it for you. Your dead, dry bones You remember when they were dry, dead? Remember when there was a mountain in your life and an obstacle and you couldn't move it and you tried to heave ho 100 times and you never got anywhere? But then Jesus came. And when Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away, because he takes the gloom and he fills the life with glory. And I'm so thankful that he does. And so as you go into these coming days, I think most of you are going to be here, and just a couple of us might be leaving after the weekend. But as you go into, just believe God for great victories to be won. Believe him to move the mountains in the lives of children. Believe God to do the impossible, because that's the kind of God that we serve. And so when you pray, pray in faith, believing to receive the answer to the petition that you desire from him. Maybe we could sing together, "When Jesus Comes," the tempter's power. If there's something in my own life, your own life, maybe somebody here has a big mountain. It might not be sin, it might not be whatever, but I don't know what your mountains are. They may be different. Or maybe there's a dilemma, circumstance, a family problem, whatever it might be. When Jesus comes, he's able to make the mountain flow down like wax. It's in the white book someplace. I don't know if anybody has the number, but it's there. 110. Thank you. wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord.
To these staff,
yes, Lord. Grant
that they shall believe God.
Yes.
And Lord, that you shall come down. You shall open heaven and come down.
Grant,
Lord, upon these counselors as they work with these children, as they give the word of God, as they pray, as they worship, and then, Lord, we believe. For these children,
you are
never too young,
you are
never
too
old,
Amen.
For God to come in and touch right into their hearts.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we believe that the Holy Ghost will have His way.
Jesus, grant it,
Lord, do something.
Yes,
let the windows of heaven be open every moment of every day.
Yes, Lord.
We pray that you bless Brother Gary and Sister Catherine. Lord, as they endeavor to lead these children, Lord, as they give the word, we pray there'll be times, maybe not in a meeting, but there'll be times where they can speak to a soul.
Jesus,
lead them to Jesus.
Lord,
it's our faith. We trust you for it. God, you are the God of the impossible.
Yes,
Lord. Nothing is too hard for God.
That's right.
So, Lord, we believe set the tone of this meeting tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we pray that you'll fill them.
Fill them with faith, fill them with rest, fill them with wisdom. Yes, Lord, give them help, Lord, help them when they get tired, help them, give them the strength they need when they don't know what to do. Lord, give them wisdom. Yes, Lord, and Lord, we pray, we entrust these children to you, we believe God that you will give life
to these children that don't have any hope, they come from homes where there's some sadness, but you can break them into greatness. Yes, Jesus, give them life, move obstacles, have your way, we pray, glory, 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 glory,
in life. And you'll do it, Lord, in lives and hearts, oh God. Oh, dear Lord, and staff, and guests, and everyone, Lord, your work is about to be accomplished, dear Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, Jesus. Grant it, Lord. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing number 197 together in closing yet. 197.
Spirit, saith the Lord. Is there a river in your path? A river, oh, hallelujah. Step in, the waters will roll back. You'll reach the other side. Not by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, not by might, not by power, by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed. Spirit, saith the Lord. Is there a fiery furnace trial far more than you can bear? Behold, the blessed Son of God is walking with you there. Not by might, not by power, Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, not by might, not by power, by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Do it, Lord, do it, Lord, do it, Lord. Move the mountains, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Saith the Lord. Then trust alone the mighty God.
He speaks, the winds obey. Take courage then, a fainting heart, for you he'll make a way. Not by might, not by power,
and so, Lord, we do ask, God, that you would come by your Spirit, Lord. Jesus, we know it's not by our power. It's not by our might, Lord Jesus, but we lean hard upon you, oh God. And we just ask for every single one of these counselors, for every single one of the staff, Lord Jesus, that you would equip them, give them what they need to serve you in these 2 weeks, God. Soften, even now, the hearts of the young people that are coming up, the little cottagers, all the way up to the in the village, Lord Jesus. Soften hearts to receive from your word, oh God, the soil of their hearts, Lord Jesus. Make it fruitful for the seed of your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. God bless you, guests. You are dismissed. Staff, if you wouldn't mind staying for a little while, even the counselors. Thank you. God bless you.